Before we open God's Word and share this morning, let's just bow momentarily in prayer. Lord, we know that Thou art here. We know that Thou art in our presence because Thy Word says so, that wherever two or three are gathered in Thy name, that I shall be there with them. And Lord, because Thou art here, we pray that the quiet voice that we want to talk about this morning might touch each one of us, might change us, and might bring glory to the only name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, who said that He loved us, whose voice was clear, who spoke different than any other man, who spoke with power and with authority, who spoke not as men do. And we pray that that may also be true today, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have for our lesson outline this morning out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and just one verse, verse 10. And I'd like for you to open it. And then I would like also to read from Romans chapter 10, five verses. But now let's read verse 10 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And my translation says, "There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. None of them are insignificant. There are lots of voices in this world." I've learned to know this, and not only in church, but I want to talk about some of the quiet voices that have made changes, that have done wonderful things. I want to talk about this because of what Romans says. Romans chapter 10. And here I'd like for you to go with me, chapter 10. Actually, I'm going to begin reading with verse 9. 9 through 17. Partly because I would like to end the message with verse 17, which says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God spoke so that men might have faith, that you and I might believe, that there might be faith, that we might be saved. But beginning with verse 9, it says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between a Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all to call upon him. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And may God, who does this, open each of our ears to his voice. want to talk about quiet voices. Each of us knows what a quiet voice is, because I'm sure you have heard the other kind also. Every time you're driving on a road, you know, most cars don't have quiet horns, do they? They don't even have quiet mufflers, most of them. Most of them, I mean, noise is something that all of us are used to. Are we? Maybe not. But a voice we're all kind of used to. You see, the journey of life is from this world of death, from this dying world, to go to the land of the living. And in order for that to happen, a voice came, God's voice. I want to talk about several voices. I want to talk about the voice of God. I want to talk about the voice of human need. I want to talk about the voice of a sinful world. I would like to also talk about the voice of Christian faith. I'd like to talk about the voice of the church. And I would like to talk also about the voice of the Christian home. Some of the things that I'm thinking about are not going to be easy for me to say, because I need to be frank. But beloved, one of the thoughts I've had the last few days was when Brother Al emailed me and asked me, would I consider taking a message, because it doesn't look like he'll get back in time. Brother Al was supposed to have the message today. I thought this might be the only time that God would ever allow me to preach again. It might be the last time. So I want to say, God's quiet voice, did it come through me too? Not so very long ago, I observed what I thought was one of the most beautiful illustrations of a quiet voice. I observed a mother with her little baby. She was feeding him. When we were raising our children, Arlene telling me when the babies are born, they first can only see about, 18 inches? Because that's the distance between the eyes of the mother and the baby when she cares for her, for the baby. And I noticed this little boy stopped drinking and started looking at his mother. And he looked really intensely, and the mom was looking back at him. And I thought, here is a beautiful, quiet conversation, if you will. Because he was locked in. I mean, he had forgotten to eat. And I'm going to tell you this, for a Webel, this is something. To forget to eat. But he did, it worked. And I thought, what a way to communicate. You know, it's love that communicated. It was the love of God, this God who was all alone, who had no one that he could express his love to, decided to speak a word, and he said, let there be. And there was a world. And we go on, and it doesn't take very many verses in Genesis to see where it was the voice of God that created this. And he did this because he loved. And beloved, love, when it's there, it is there quietly, but it's powerful. I don't know what was going on in that little mind as he was observing his mother, but I can imagine his brain was going as fast as it could to absorb what was going on. And all of us have seen this when we've noticed moms taking care of little ones. You see, it's the love that causes us to talk quietly. All of us know what loud noises are. All of us know. And I remember, well, just to differentiate, I remember reading one time of a minister that had quite a, you know, in a relatively large congregation, and he had quite a few weddings. And in every sermon that he had in a wedding, this is what he said to the young couple. He said, "Gee, thanks. I'll be able to drink out of two glasses now. I brought one up. You didn't see me sneak one, Brother Kirk, but I appreciate it." Every wedding sermon he had, he would say to the couple, "The charge to you is you are to speak quietly to each other. You're not allowed to raise your voices. The only time you're allowed to raise your voice with each other, if the house is on fire, then you can scream. But if not, no." And he did this all of his life. And I thought, you know what? That's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. If the house is on fire, scream. But other than that, no. You see, all of the voices that you hear, actually, if you read that 1 Corinthians reference, it really means languages. All of the various languages are not without significance. They have a meaning. You see, it's the tone of voice that has great meaning to what we say. It's the behind, the love that is behind, that has such meaning to the things that we say, to the things that God has said. So when God said, "Let there be man, let there be a world, let there be fish, let there be..." It was meaningful. He meant it. He meant it in a beautiful way so that he could have communion. He could have conversation. Language is meant to give information. Language is meant to be clear. It's not meant to confuse, although sometimes we do a pretty good job of it. And to try to explain it, we usually do not improve because communication has always been a problem. But God has given each person, each and everything there is, a voice. I was walking the other day, a couple days, Jeremy, while you were gone, we had nice weather. I walked in a cemetery. Not because I like cemeteries, but it's handy. And I heard some birds screaming. And I already know that noise, that kind of a, means there is danger. I looked around, and sure enough, there was a hawk circling. And all the birds were telling each other, "Look out, there he is." And they were not quiet about it. They were pretty noisy about it. The same evening, I was outside, and I heard as the sun was settling, the birds were nestling in their nests. And I don't know if you've ever heard the quiet, a twittering sound. It's just peaceful. They just add this. Probably what they're saying in their own language is saying, you know, the sun is setting, everything is nice, we have a great nest here, and things are safe. And we'll be all right. And we're going to sleep well. And God will take care of us. God has always provided for us. He provides for every bird. And so we don't need to worry. God will be here. He'll take care of us. I don't know what they're saying, but I thought that might be what they're saying to each other, encouraging each other. See, because there are so many voices. I want to say something that Jesus said that needs to be said. Usually, we speak out of the abundance of our heart. So whatever I put in my heart is what I will speak about. Let me put this in perspective. If I put God's word in my mouth, in my heart, that's what I'm going to talk about. If I'm thinking about business, that's what I'm going to talk about. If I think about sports, that's what I'm going to talk about. If I think about name the rest of it. Bad weather? That's what I'm going to talk about. But there is no bad weather, is there? Wasn't someone that said, is there only different kinds of good weather? I like that better anyway. But whatever we think, whatever we put in our heart, out of the abundance of the heart, man speaks. And if it's evil, it'll be evil. But if it's good, it's good. That's what Jesus told us. Out of 469 references to voice in our King James Bible, 124 are in the New Testament. The rest of them are in the Old Testament. And the first two times it mentions, the second time it talks about God walking, the voice of God was walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, and it was this voice, and Adam and Eve were hid. If you remember that? It was the voice. So the voice is my voice, and your voice is what we are. We are what we, or the voice that we have. I'm sure that if I were to call your home on a phone or whatever, you can recognize my voice because you know me. Or if you don't know me, I will tell you. But isn't it interesting that the pattern of voice is always, I mean, we all have it, and it's different. All of us have a different whatever that is. All of these voices are significant. All of the voices want to be heard. On TV, the last few nights, the news have been out of Mideast. And one commentator yesterday said, he says, and whoever's this, they want to be heard. And in fact, they pointed on somebody, and he had one of those foghorns, or what are those things called that, you know, you talk into, you know, in the megaphone, is that what it is? Eric, you're shaking your head. Whatever those things are. I guess he meant to be heard. He was facing the other way because I think they were going to blow away whoever was going to be listening. But it was the God who created. God said, let there be light. And this light we read about in the New Testament. It is the voice that was promised us that would be in the wilderness. That was Jesus Christ. He would be preaching in the wilderness of this world. This voice of God walking, talking in the garden. Why? Because he wanted fellowship. Why? Because there was someone to talk to. God made man with the ability to be able to talk intelligently, to talk, to think about something, and to verbalize it, and to put it in some kind of thought, and put it in good order. And so when we talk with each other, or when God talked to Adam, Adam was a sensible man. You know how we know? When he brought all the animals, he was able to name all of them. And I don't know, I didn't go to Google. Maybe I should have gone to Google to find out how many animals there are in the world. How could he come up with all them names? I mean, he took a giraffe and he called it a giraffe. What else would you call a giraffe? He knew what to call it. It requires intelligence. And so he was an intelligent person. And God enjoyed the fellowship. There's a different kind of voice, right? We just hear it now. Okay? But beloved, in our world, there is the voice of human need. It doesn't go we don't have to go very far to hear physical needs. Partly because of the age that we are, Arlene and I spend a lot more time going to doctor's offices and places like that than we ever have before. And I can tell you this, in no place that we have ever gone to, we are not the only ones there. We're usually standing in line with somebody that is a lot worse off than we are, and look behind you, and they are, all of them come with all kinds of equipment, need of health, need of all kinds of things. But and it doesn't go. We don't have to go far. We find out they're hungry. They're screaming for food halfway across the world. How many children go to bed hungry, even in this country? The numbers are phenomenal. Let alone the spiritual needs that this world is crying out on. How many are there that their heart cry is to be delivered from where they are? And there may be someone here today who is thinking along that line. There's a voice of a sinful world. Young people, old people, married, single, doesn't make any difference. There's a sinful world with a voice out there, the voice of darkness, that is seeking for pleasure. They're seeking for things that are short-lived. They're looking and they don't know what. They're not satisfied with where they live. They're not satisfied with who they're married. They're not satisfied with their job. They're not satisfied with whatever it is. They're not satisfied with their kids. They're not satisfied with their mates. They're not satisfied if they would be served on a golden platter. They're not satisfied. They're always looking. They're always dissatisfied. Searching. Crying. Searching for some kind of security. The security that perhaps materialism might bring. Perhaps a better job. Perhaps moving someplace else. You know, if I only didn't have this. If I only didn't, whatever. That's the sinful world that is crying out. Crying out in fear. Crying out in frustration. Crying out in not knowing what is going on. But there's also the voice of the Christian. The voice of a Christian that is in this world, the voice that began with a voice in the wilderness that our Lord Jesus Christ was, that said, there is a purpose for life. There is a God that is in control. There is a voice that started at the cross. A voice that was heard in the Garden of Gethsemane. A voice that said, if it be possible, remove this. I forgot now how it said. The cup from me. Because the cup of life that our Lord Jesus Christ, that we are sometimes not easy to bear. Because there is a price to be paid. There is a cost involved. But beloved, it's a cost that is worthwhile. It's a cost that is born because of a love that's behind that says, you are worth it. You're worth it to me. And I will go through whatever it takes. And so if it's a mother that is looking into the eyes of her infant, if it's a mother that's looking at her teenage son that's wandering all over the map, or if it's whatever it is, it's a voice that says, I love you, and I mean well for you, and I want to do whatever I can to help you. That's the voice of Christian faith that says, there is healing. There is an answer to some of these things. There's an answer to having good things happen. You see, when a mother teaches her children, she not only tells them what's wrong, but she also tells them what's right. But it's beyond that. She not only tells them what's right, she goes and she says, not only will I teach you what is good, but I will also teach you what's better. And I will also teach you what's best. And I will teach you excellent things. And that's the wisdom, the voice of wisdom that we read in Proverbs. Proverbs 7 talks about the voice of wisdom being out on the street and telling to the sons and telling to the daughters what to avoid as they go through life. Telling the son, don't be, telling the young men, don't be deluded by what you see. Don't be misled by these, in that case, there's the women who were misleading, and there's some strong warnings there. And it takes the women to it and tells them also to. That's the voice of wisdom. That's the voice of a mother. That's the voice that says there is an excellent way. Choose that. God has given you, what is the space between the ears? Six inches, 5 inches? On me, it's maybe 7, but that's all right. There's something in between there. That's just not a space to hold your ears apart. God has given us a brain so that we would use it. We would use it with guidance. We would use it from His Word. We would use it because we've heard His voice. And we have mothers who love us, and fathers who love us, and fathers who help us, and fathers who have light, fathers who preach light. The same light that God, when we read in Genesis, what is it, 1:2 or 1:1, where it says, "And in the beginning was the Word," and or however it was, He said, "Let there be light." Because light is beautiful. Light gives you freedom. Light gives you where you can want to go, and it's spiritual too. And that's one of the names of Jesus Christ. Light came into the world. Jesus came into the world at that point in time already so that you and I might have life. And it was this quiet voice. See, it's the voice of love. It's the voice that sometimes it's not heard, it's seen. I don't know how you see a voice, but you can see it. Apparently, in the Garden of Eden, Adam heard the voice of God walking around. You know, and how did they see each other? How did, in my opening illustration, how did a little boy hear his mother's voice when she wasn't saying anything? Because there is communication, and communication is a good thing. And beloved, the scriptures tell us much. And I am not going to go through, but I'm going to say again that there are all kinds of voices in the world. Quiet voices, there's a purpose behind them. The voice of a Christian home. Want to talk a few moments about that. Want to talk to moms and dads. Never before in my life have I seen the forces of evil come into homes, into relationships. How many lives have been ruined? It's only Satan knows. And I'm going to tell you, moms, don't be afraid to take your daughter, that little daughter that you gave birth to, that you cuddled to your breast. Don't be afraid to take her in the corner and tell her, "Honey, it's time you're growing up. Dress appropriately. Dress like a woman ought to be. Don't advertise what's not for sale. Don't expose yourself." And moms, don't be afraid to do that. And dads, be in support of moms. And dads, tell your daughter what it does to a man when she inappropriately exposes herself. I was walking at the mall recently, and there was a sign, and Arlene and I were together, and she didn't like the joke, but I'll tell you what it was. And they had a sign in front of one of the stores that says, "Dresses, half off." You know, a for sale sign. And I said, "Honey, that's right. They were half off and half on." Moms and dads, do yourself a favor. Don't be afraid. If you love that child, if you love that daughter, say it. Help her. Help her make an excellent choice. Dads, you have sons. If you have a son, don't be afraid to talk to them. Moms and dads, you can tell dad, you can tell them what's right. You can tell him not to throw his life away, because God has brought you into this world. God has redeemed you for a purpose, and that purpose is a godly purpose, to glorify Him and to give you a good life, to give you an excellent life. And between mom and dad, you can get that message across. We have strange voices talking to our children. And you know what? Our children sometimes, these things that you open up with those telephones and things, when, I think it's a good thing that we don't have it in church, because it's distracting. You don't have to have, when I was growing up, we didn't go to movies. It didn't make any, we were not allowed to go. Now, you have a movie in every pocket, right? You can have. Don't be afraid to say no. Because whatever you put in your heart, it will come out. If it is evil, Jesus said in Matthew 12, it will come out that way. You cannot play with sin and get by with it. The sign donor said, sin is sin, and only a fool fools with sin. And who is the fool? And who is the greatest fool? The greatest fool is he who thinks he can't be fooled. And that has no age barrier. That's not just for the young. That's for someone that's my age too. And if you don't want to know, I'll tell you, I'm 77 years old and I'm still fooled by a lot of things. And when I think I have it right. I had some instances yesterday, and I'll tell you what they were, because I don't want you to laugh at me. But it's okay. See, there is no fool, or fuel, is it, like an old fuel? Why is this so important, beloved? Because the voices that are out there want to be heard. There's nothing sacred. Marriage is not sacred to the men out there and the women and to our society. Honor, not sacred. I do not know actually how to say it, but I want to just lay it on your heart, moms. Don't be afraid. Go to the closet and ask God to give you the wisdom. Go with your husband. You're the mom and dad, go and kneel together and talk to your children. Their soul is in the balance. Don't be afraid. The schools have nothing to teach. Government doesn't do it. So the home has to. And we as a church, we want to support you. We want you to know that we're behind God's principles. Whether it's marriage, whether it's single life, that it be honorable, and that it be God-honoring. Because that's the only place you would have. The voice of wisdom that we read in Proverbs says, don't throw your life away. You can never gain it back. All of us know what a GPS is, right? Right? You know what a GPS is. Shake your head, yes. There's nobody that doesn't know, right? And some of you, probably my grandchildren, you've heard me say what I say GPS is. That's God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation is that when He created the world, He would tell us that he did it. He would tell us that he loved us. When man fell, God's plan of salvation included Jesus Christ come, and God's plan included so that you and I would find our way home. It is important that we would hear and that we'd hear his word so that we would have faith, so that we would be saved. That's God's plan of salvation. That's his GPS. And I want to say to you, and I want to say to myself first, whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice am I listening to? The next one is, and whose voice is it that you're hearing? Sometimes you and I, we need to make sure that we're in the right places to hear the right voices, to do the right things. In Romans chapter 10, where it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it starts out, it says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And how then shall they call if they haven't heard? And how shall they hear if there is no preacher? You see, most of us, I was 21 years old before I was baptized and gave my life to the Lord. I have had, in all the years since, regret that I never did it sooner. It's the only regret I have ever had. I wish that I would have given. Because God has given to each of us a preacher to tell us that faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Hearing that we need to put our lives in order. We need to, when we get to a certain age, when we know the difference, we need to go the right way. And it's a quiet voice. It's not as loud as this preacher is. No, it's a quiet voice that sometimes says in the middle of the night, you wake up and you think someone has been talking to you to set your life straight with God. What will you do? What would happen if you were to die tonight? What would happen, pray tell? What would happen? And God gave us a preacher to tell us this. You know why the preacher says it? Because God sent him. Because God put the preachers in a place. So when we hear them, we need not harden our hearts. But we need to open our hearts to our Lord Jesus. It's that still small voice that sometimes we hear when nobody is listening, when nobody is around, when it's dark, and when it's quiet, and when we're by ourselves. Because God wants to get our attention. Because God loves us. God so loved that he gave Jesus Christ, the Bible says. And faith comes by hearing. And you and I need to hear the right things from God. So, what kind of voices have you heard? What kind of voice should we talk with? The kind of voice that says, I love you, and because I love you, I want the best for you. Not only the best, I want excellent. The best there is, God will give you. May God bless the word.